Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff.
Jacqueline Galloway Blake is an author, an early childhood educator, storyteller, entrepreneur, a national workshop presenter. And she loves using her God-given talents to inspire parents and teachers to value literacy and to make the life principles from the Bible meaningful to young minds. She's an author, and one of the books we're going to talk about today is called Mommy Is Today Sabbath. Jacqueline, welcome to LifeQuest.
Thank you so much.
Why did you write this book at this time?
I wrote the book actually over 20 years ago because my son, around 4 or 5 years old, was constantly asking me that very question. Mommy, is today Sabbath? Mommy, is today Sabbath? And it was so routine with him, I really felt inspired to write it down and to make it into a little story.
Describe for our listeners about the book. Now, you know, I've got it right in front of me here. It's not a big book. It's obviously for kids. It's very colorful. Tell us about the format, what's in it, how does it work?
It's a children's picture book, so every page, as you mentioned, has a full spread of color illustrations. It's a rhyming book, and it goes through the days of the week because the little fellow wanted to know, is today Sabbath? So It starts with Sunday. And it says, no, son, today is Sunday, your trip day, the day that we go to the zoo. And then the next page is Monday. It's Mommy's Today Sabbath. No, son, today is Monday. And so on throughout the days of the week until finally the long-awaited day arrives. And we have 2 full pages about the joys of the Sabbath. And then the back of the book has activities for children to complete as well as a few questions and activities for parents to complete.
I see.
Because it's a parent and child book. They can both enjoy it together.
Yeah, and I like the Bible text, questions for parents, a Bible promise, and even a little space here to draw a picture for kids and questions for children. And it's really quite compact but complete. What kind of response have you gotten from this book?
I happen to have attended the San Antonio, Texas General Conference, an international meeting a few weeks ago, and with the book. We did storytelling with the book and met people, tons of people there. I was so surprised and very pleased to meet people who said, look, Susie, this is your favorite book. That's the book we already have at home, your favorite book. More than one person has told me that is their child's favorite book. Another parent told me they read it every day. One parent said they read it so much that they had to take it apart, take it to the laminator, have the pages laminated, and then put it back together because they've worn it out so much.
My goodness.
So I'm just so thrilled when people react that way.
Tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself. What are some of the things that you have done in your career?
I'm an early childhood educator by profession. Having worked in and out of the classroom with children and parents for over 30 years as a classroom teacher, as a private tutor, and I'm also a professional storyteller. I've had the privilege of visiting over 400 schools from California to New York and even the Virgin Islands, presenting storytelling programs for children, mainly in public schools, but I've been to all kinds of schools, private, charter, all kinds of religious schools, but mainly public schools. So it's been my joy to share literature. I also am involved with a multicultural literature company. So I also have the privilege of presenting in-service workshops for teachers regarding the use of multicultural literature in the classroom. So books are my friends, and sharing literature with parents and children is something I've done for almost a lifetime.
I've got to tell you, Jacqueline, I grew up being read to. And both my parents just telling me stories. I wonder if today that is as common as maybe it was decades ago when I was very young.
Probably not, because of all this new technology that we have. Children, even infants, are glued to the screen, whether it's a cell phone screen or a tablet screen. So I would guess that there's much less face-to-face interaction, reading aloud, sitting in mommy's lap, dad sitting in daddy's lap, and just looking at the pages of a book, not on a Kindle, but the real book, the real pages.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was telling someone the other day that my mother, when I was very young, used to tell the story of David and Goliath. And David had to take this food to his brothers who were in the army. And I was allowed to say what kind of food that he probably took in this basket. And, of course, I had mashed potatoes and gravy and cornbread. But, there was something stimulating mentally and creatively in that process.
You're absolutely right. And neuroscience has announced to us by way of the American Association, Pediatric Association, the American Pediatrics Association recommends no screen media for children below the age of 2.
Is that so?
And it's because it hampers brain development. So there's really a neurological reason to put away the screens and let that little child sit cuddled close to you and read aloud to children. It's so beneficial. And God himself is our mentor. He put his message in a book.
Yes, that's right.
He wants us to read. And reading aloud, you can always tell children. As a classroom teacher, I could always tell the children who were read too.
Now, tell our listeners, Jacqueline, how they can get any of your books, including this one, Mommy Is Today Sabbath.
I'll be glad to. Please visit our website, mommyistodaysabbath.com, mommyistodaysabbath.com. And you'll see lots of information, also how to get the book. You can also go to the publisher, which is teachservices.com. You can go directly to them or come through our website, Mommy Is Today Sabbath. And may I tell your listeners about a free offer?
Please do.
We would like to give away, listeners, we want you to have this book for free. So the first 3 people to go to Mommy Is Today's Sabbath, fill out the contact form within 24 hours of this broadcast, the first 3 people will receive a free copy of Mommy Is Today's Sabbath. And we also have a workshop that accompanies this book called How to Make Sabbath Delightful for Children. And the first person who goes to our website, Mommy Is Today's Sabbath, and go to services, fill out the form, the first person to inquire about the workshop and then later on to book a workshop will receive 10 copies of Mommy Is Today Sabbath for free.
Fantastic. Again, our author is Jacqueline Galloway Blake, and the book is Mommy Is Today Sabbath. Jacqueline, thanks so much for being with us today on LifeQuest.
It's been my pleasure, and God bless you and the work you do.
I'll be back in just a moment.
Joining us today on LifeQuest, here is host Dwight Lanoff.
Today on LifeQuest, I'm talking with Tim Rosenberg. He's been studying and teaching Bible prophecy for 25 years. He's been a pastor. He teaches. He is an author. And today I'd like to talk with him about his latest book, which is Islam and Christianity, The Coming Holy War. Tim, welcome to LifeQuest.
Thank you very much, Dwight. Glad to be with you.
What prompted your interest in prophecy and Islam in Bible prophecy?
Well, my interest in prophecy was pretty simple. When I was in high school, I fell in love with Jesus, or just coming out of high school. And I discovered that Bible prophecy is about when Jesus comes back. And since I was in love with Jesus, I wanted to see Jesus come back.
Now, I appreciate very much you saying that, because sometimes we get caught up in all the calculations and all the figures and history and forget why, because of Jesus.
Well, I'm also an outdoorsman,
mm-hmm.
and there have been times I've had to be rescued.
Yes.
When things went bad. And Bible prophecy is also about how God's people get rescued.
Ah, well said.
And so when I look at this, I get to see Jesus, I get rescued. Of course I'm looking forward to this and studying prophecies about how we get out of this mess.
Hmm. Very interesting. As a background, as an observer, I have noticed that many times Christians have some misunderstandings about Islam, and they certainly don't, here in the West, we certainly don't seem to maybe take as seriously as we could the various factions of Islam that tend to hate each other. We kind of say, well, that's okay as long as they're not bothering us. But where does all that seem to fit in your studies and observations?
Well, I didn't start my studies thinking about Islam.
Okay.
I went into the study of prophecy, and I discovered that Bible prophecy, specifically Daniel 11, really talks a lot about Islam.
I see.
And you can track exactly where we are on the three conflicts between Islam, the Crusades, mm-hmm. Arab Islam and the Crusades, the Ottoman Empire, and the third and final conflict, which is just called the Time of the End.
I've taught history classes for high school kids in parochial schools, and there isn't always as much emphasis as maybe there should be on the Islamic takeover, especially of Southern Europe, Central and Southern Europe, in the past. And yet it was quite influential in what was happening in the world at that time.
Exceedingly influential. And Revelation 9 depicts the Islamic push into the Christian world as a punishment against Christianity for not being true to God and His Word, especially in the area of worshiping images, which mm-hmm. began to happen in both the Catholic and Orthodox churches. The icons.
And which Islam is very unhappy with.
Very unhappy with. And, well, think back to the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
When God's ancient Israel started worshiping images, they would be invaded by often Abrahamic family relatives.
Mm-hmm.
In the New Testament times, when Christians begin to having icons or idols set up in the statues in the churches, in come Muhammad and his followers, yes. Abrahamic family members from Ishmael,
mm-hmm.
as a punishment against. It's the same thing all over again. God's consistent.
As you have looked at your understanding of prophecy and paralleling some of the prophetic books of the Bible, has this led you to actually historically study who Muhammad was and how he developed such a influence in a major part of the world?
You know, I've done some.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I said I didn't come into this as a study of Islam, but a yes. study of Bible prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting with that, without having done a serious study of Islam, but just looking at the prophecy, I now go into the Islamic world, and I'm not corrected on the basic tenets of what we're doing, because the prophecy was accurate.
I wanted to ask you about that. You have, I'm sure, coming to your seminars and reading the material you have developed, Christians who are very much interested in end times and prophecy in general. Have you had opportunities to talk to people of the Muslim faith?
Many times. I will actually go to a mosque or a community center, Islamic community center, right before a seminar,
mm-hmm.
and invite them to come.
Hmm.
Because we have a brochure that goes out, and it goes into everybody's mailbox,
yes.
that says Islam and Christianity and Bible prophecy, and I know that the imams and many of their Muslim followers mm-hmm. are thinking this is a bash Islam event.
Right.
And so I go there and have a discussion with them and tell them, no, this is not a bash Islam event. It's going to be honest about the strengths and weaknesses of both Islam and Christianity.
And that statement is kind of important for both sides, because what I would suggest Muslims think about Christianity may not be what you and I are comfortable with as to what Christianity should represent, and maybe the opposite is true also.
They have some very serious issues that they have picked up legitimately from history.
Okay.
By the way, I tell them I'm not the normal Christian, that I'm a true follower of the book. I say, you know, I don't agree with the Crusades.
Yes.
I don't agree with the killing that was done in the name of God or of Jesus Christ. But then again, there are those on the Christian side that have killed. There are those on the Muslim side that have killed. There are those on the Christian side who have been deceptive. There are those on the Muslim side that have been deceptive. And the Bible predicts that both sides would do exactly those things, but God's people will be caught in the middle between these two powers.
Interesting.
And in the prophecy that I'm going to, there's a group out of Islam and a group out of Christianity that unite to follow God honestly at the end. And they will be caught in the middle between the two powers.
So I'm hearing you say that in some cases you do get a hearing, an honest hearing from those of the Muslim faith.
Oh, yes. I've had good conversations in the mosque. I've had them come to the meetings. I've never, to the best of my knowledge, had a Muslim leave our meetings angry. Disagreeing, yes. Angry, no.
In your book, Islam and Christianity, The Coming War, Holy War, you begin to identify the various groups in today's world that are referred to in the scripture.
Right.
And sometimes these are potentially very confusing to the first reader, or through history there have been an evolution of, is it this, is it that, is this king of the north this, or is the king of the south that, just as there has been about antichrists and things like that.
Right.
How do you lead your readers through this in your book?
Well, the good news is that in Daniel 11, he's not very symbolic.
I see.
He's very literal. When he uses the name of nations over and over, and he always means the nations he's talking about right up to the time of the end in our day. And so I have the luxury, so to speak, of actually looking at a prophecy that actually says what it means, but it's not popular in what it says, so it's been overlooked by most people.
How do we distinguish between what may be a symbolic thing mentioned in scripture and those things which are literal? Even in Daniel 2, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, it kind of explains it for itself. No one really argues that because they just look in history and see it.
Same thing happens in Daniel 11.
Okay.
Only this time, it's always talking about a king of the king, a leader of the north.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one in Daniel 11 is Persia. The second one is Greece. Then Greece divides with a north and a south, the Seleucids and the Ptolemies. Then Rome takes over the whole thing. Then Rome divides with a north and a south, papal-led Christianity north, Islam south,
right,
and Jerusalem's caught in the middle again, just like in the Greek split.
And so it doesn't always mean geographic north and south.
With the Greek split, the Ptolemies came from Egypt or the south of Israel, but then they were sometimes north. The Seleucids came from the north of Israel, but were sometimes south. It had to do which direction did they first occupy or invade Israel from. In the breakup of the Roman Empire, Islam came from the south, Mecca and Medina, as they came up into Israel.
I see.
During papal-led Christianity came back at them from the north. And since then, it describes three conflicts in Daniel 11. 25 to 28 is the Crusades. 29 to 39, the Ottoman Empire, during the same time period as the Reformation. And the time of the end. And in the time of the end, it says the king of the south will push against the king of the north. And for on June 29, 2014, for the first time since the Ottoman Empire, we once again have a caliphate. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi in the Islamic State. And on the very first day, he said he was going to attack Rome and the world. 5 weeks later, the Pope, who's been the king of the north in the last two conflicts before this,
yes,
called for military action against the Islamic State for the first time since the Ottoman Empire. And in Daniel 11, it says, when the king of the south will push against the king of the north, the king of the north will come back with military might, and we enter a whirlwind, and that whirlwind takes you rapidly through the return of Christ in Daniel 11. So to me, we just entered the whirlwind, and it's a relatively short time until Jesus returns.
And that's really the theme of prophecy, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I was going to ask you, to some of our listeners who are dealing with their own personal economics, maybe health problems, maybe marital difficulties, why should they be interested in this?
Why not be interested in deliverance?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean you ignore your problems now. I know, based on Daniel 11, I firmly believe we've just entered the whirlwind. The first conflict took centuries. The second conflict took centuries.
Mm-hmm.
How long will this conflict take? I don't know. It could be, it's already been a year. It could be a couple of years. It could be a decade.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it will be. But compared to the others, this one will be like a whirlwind. And the news media is already talking about it in some of the stories, that the consequences are piling up faster than they can be comprehended in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
That things are changing in a relative flash for allegiances around the Middle East.
So what you want your reader to get out of your book, Islam and Christianity, I'm hearing you say, is hope in being rescued by Jesus coming.
This world is going crazy. It points out that God is not taken surprise by the crazy world that we live in. He's laid down exactly what was going to be happening. And instead of being in despair, we should be looking to know that we're about to be rescued. The world looks at it and is troubled.
Yes.
Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled.
Yes.
The world may be going crazy, coming apart at the seams, but don't be troubled. He is coming again. Not only that, but based on this prophecy, radical Islam will be destroyed. Moderate Islam will follow papal-led Christianity. And there will be a group of Christians and a group of Muslims that join together to share the last, it's loud cry in Revelations, tidings from the east, tidings from the north in Daniel. They will the greatest evangelistic opportunity of all time is right at our doorsteps. And if you love Jesus Christ, sharing Jesus with people should really get your excitement up.
Again, folks, the book is Islam and Christianity, The Coming Holy War by Tim Rosenberg. Pastor Tim, where can people get a copy of this book?
You can go on our website, islamandchristianity.org. You can go to Amazon, probably go to any bookstore and ask them to order it, but you're going to do best at Amazon or at our website.
Thank you, Tim, for being with us today on LifeQuest.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.